one of the great golfers of McCook in Southwest Nebraska, just made a decision that, you know, a lot of years, the professional ranks, and boy, we were pulling for him, no question, to get that PGA Tour card, and it's tough, I mean, to get that and to bust your tail, and it's an expensive sport and everything, but just fell a little bit short. But Brandon Crick from McCook is in our studios here to talk a little bit about, going to be moving on. Mr. Bob Kolke, my good buddy and broadcast partner, is here. I'm glad he is here because you've watched this guy a lot during high school years, college, and we've all been following him, including yourself.
You told me this was going to be a derby discussion. So
you know what? I lied.
Yeah, I thought maybe because you weren't sure how many holes there were on a golf course that you wanted me in here for that.
Sometimes I do have to ask you every now and then, don't I?
Occasionally.
Yeah, exactly right. But you've watched this guy over the years and just been so fun to watch.
Yeah, it's been great. It was, you know, anytime you get kind of a, I guess, a special group of guys, and we're talking some state tournaments and those types of things, it's just kind of funny how it all kind of comes together. You know, I mean, you've got, you know, basically Brandon and of course, Tyler Lawson being local. Bob kind of moves here when we moved here to McCook, and how things get going. It's just, I actually tried to think back how it all just formulated. And basically, I just kind of remember all of a sudden when Tyler and Bob, of course, they're 2 years older than Brandon, when they got into high school, they were, of course, were looking around because they wanted to make sure there were other golfers coming up, and of course they, you know, got a hold of Brandon, I'm sure, and just noticed that he was playing and stuff, so they kind of just were the three amigos, so to speak, as far as those summers go, and playing out at Heritage Hills in different events and having a little fun. And I'm sure I don't know all the stories that happened out there, but anyway, no, it was just fun watching them grow. And you know, there's a lot of spectator sports out there, but watching your kids golf can be exhilarating or excruciating, mm-hmm. because there's nowhere to hide, and Brandon can talk about that at length more than anybody. There's nowhere to hide, and you can't just say, well, I'm done. I think I'll just, you know. So you got to finish all the way. But no, it was great watching them grow up, and they're good athletes in other sports as well, too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's what I certainly remember, that 2003 and 2004 years of golf for these guys.
Tremendous, you bet. Brandon, thanks again for doing this. I mean, you just announced it recently on social media, and you've always been kind to me over the years with great interviews, and I appreciate that.
Yeah. Thanks again for having me, Rich, and always, as always, thanks for having me here at High Plains Radio. I enjoy being able to kind of share my experience along the way, and you guys have done a great job, so I appreciate that. And then, you know, for what Bob says, it's like, I mean, I remember it as plain as day. You know, I went out, I started, you know, really young when I was with my dad, about 5 years old. We always went up to Oberlin, so we played for Oberlin for probably 5 years or so. And all of a sudden, you know, I got to 10, 11, 12, somewhere like that. I got my membership out at Heritage Hills. And we got to play with Tyler and Bobby. And, you know, we spent our whole summers out of the golf course, and it was great. I mean, well, a lot of our friends, you know, were at the pool, at the lake. Like, we just loved being out of the golf course. And, I mean, I don't regret that one bit. But it was so much fun, and it was great having success those last few years of Tyler and Bobby's high school career, as well as, you know, all four, or almost all four of mine in high school. So it was a lot of fun. And you know, Tyler went to Wesleyan and did great things at Wesleyan. And Bobby, he went to Minnesota, and they also did super well. And, yeah, so it's been great.
You remember those years like it was yesterday, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, it was crazy. It was so much fun. I mean, yeah, we traveled all the time during the summer and playing a bunch of events, kind of mostly around here locally. Mm-hmm. And we were competitive. We were really competitive out there in the summers. And as I said, we were up there, I mean, it seemed like from 9 in the morning till probably or just before dinner. So it was a lot of fun, and Heritage Hills treated us well in doing that.
But that's what you got to do to be, I mean, good in everything and anything and everything. You've got to put time in, especially golf. You got to spend a lot of time out there, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, we found a talent that we all enjoyed, and we found, you know, a game that we really just had a good time being out there and liked, kind of, you know, sometimes obviously we got super competitive and we got upset at each other like any kids do, but you know, we had a lot of fun and we made each other better because of it.
And of course you had a great teacher, and Coach Ron Coleman was the absolute best, bring you guys up and all the ins and outs of golf and boy, you'll remember him, no question, forever, what he did for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he was a guy that taught us etiquette at a very early age, and I think that's a very important part of golf. And, you know, he taught us, although we weren't, you know, none of us, or we weren't professionals back then, he taught us how to be professionals well before we even needed to. So, you know, there was a lot of good things with Coach Coleman and what he did over the years.
Korn Ferry Tour, you've been on this circuit for a while, and boy, our talks, we discuss it. It's a great tour. It's not the ultimate tour you want to be on, but it's one that it's a grind. There's a lot of good players on that, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, back to, you know, when people always ask me, you know, how did you decide to become a professional golfer, you know? And I don't really have a good explanation for that. I know, I mean, I did well in college. I played extremely well, and I got the opportunity to become professional right after I was done with my four years of eligibility at Wareup in college. And basically, I got the opportunity to have a sponsor exemption in the Cox Classic, which is now what the Pinnacle Bank Championship is, the Omaha tournament for the Korn Ferry. And I did well. You play against some of the best players in the world on that tour, and I made the cut, made my first cut as a professional, and played super well. So, and it's kind of the rest is history since then. But, you know, to be 10 years out on the Korn Ferry Tour was a pretty good accomplishment in itself. You see a lot of turnover rate on the Korn Ferry. I mean, a lot of guys are either, you know, 1-2 years and then on the PGA Tour, or 1-2 years and they're, you know, they're out of a job and they're back playing either mini tours or giving up golf. So,
you know, we've talked, I think we talked not too long ago about, you had mentioned that, you know, this tour and just everyday life out traveling, stuff like that. It takes a toll on your body too, with practicing and stuff like that. And it kind of beats you up a little bit, didn't it?
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I mean, I'm 37 and that's actually old for our age group and our profession. You know, you see these kids coming out of college that are more than ready now, that are in their early 20s, and that's kind of more of your kind of peak age is kind of your mid 20s. So I hung in there as long as I could, you know, and unfortunately I did, you know, lose my job essentially at the end of this year. But you know, I had some things that I was dealing with too. I had hernia surgery actually last week, so I've been kind of a little bit beat up most of the year. Whether that's, you know, why I didn't do as well as I did, I don't know, but certainly feels better now that it's taken care of and can move on from that. But yeah, I mean, it was a good career, it was a long career, and I'm happy with what I accomplished.
I'm sure you had some talks with your wife and your some other family members, and hey, this is what I'm thinking about doing. But I'm sure your wife wants you to be happy, but she's going to get her husband home a lot more now, right?
Yeah, I mean, right now it's a good thing. We'll see how it fares, you know, here in a few months. But, no, I you know, I've been lobbying with the last 3 years whether to kind of move on from it or not. And you know, I kind of told myself if I can keep kind of improving over the years and feel like I'm getting better, I'm going to keep it going. This last year, unfortunately, wasn't quite, you know, what I wanted to. But, I mean, if you look back, and I think it was 2016, I went back and got my degree. And that was kind of when I was in the middle of an interview. And that's where I got called up by a sponsor who was with me, who's been with me the last 10 years, Larry the Cable Guy. Mm-hmm. On my way to the interview, I was driving to the interview down in Phoenix, and I was looking for another job. I was ready to kind of give it up, and he gave me a chance, and it turned into a 10-year profession. So, I mean, 10 more years of a profession. So I'm very lucky to obviously have that, and lucky to be where I am, because, you know, 10 years ago I was ready to give it up, and who knows where I'd be now.
Yeah.
Know?
Bob?
No, I think it's really interesting, and just as you talk about how just ridiculously competitive, you know, the tour is. And I think it was last year, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember we were watching you shot by shot on the computer at home following your round, because you were in contention. You were in the top five, top three type of thing. And if I remember correctly, you got second in the tournament. And a kid from Denmark, I think, who was 22 years old, first time he ever started on the Korn Ferry Tour, ended up winning the tournament. And that right then, I just thought, not only does he have to deal with just the day-to-day competitive, but here's a kid that comes from Europe and was, like you said before, ready to play right out of the box there. And it just, to me, it was just like so discouraging. I'm like, this is Brandon's shot. Mm-hmm. And this kid, I mean, obviously played, you know, four great rounds and had a great tournament, but it just a half a shot, a putt here, a putt there is all that it takes to make a difference. And I mean, that's mentally, I think you have to be as tough as you are physically to handle stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was last year at the Pinnacle Bank. That was one of probably my best moments, you know, on the tour is just that last final round, and you had 100 and some people watching on the tee box. I mean, it was pretty special, especially being kind of your home tournament, right, in Omaha. So, I mean, that was one of my probably most special moments of my career. And yeah, I mean, there's definitely a ton of good players. I mean, it's wild how this career, you don't have to win to be good, but there's a lot of times where, you know, you finish second. Man, I think that was my chance to win, but at right. the end of the day, it's still an awesome week, you know, and you kind of got to take those as wins, even though you weren't the top, you know, right. at the end of the week.
Well, and I think the stat is that if you're just the number 100 player on the PGA Tour, you don't have to win a tournament the rest of your life, but you're still going to make very good money there, but you still have to play well. And again, it's a year-to-year thing, and, you know, the Golf Channel and some other networks are really good about showing these last tournaments and, like, the you know, when you get down to it and guys are literally playing for their card. I mean, it is about as big a sports drama as you can really have, and yet you have to sit there and kind of tell yourself, I'm just going to go through my routine, mm-hmm. and I'm going to make the putt. So, no, it's like I said, there's just nowhere else to hide in a sport like that, and I'm sure there were times that you were thinking, well, let's see, where can I disappear to?
Yeah, but, I mean, and the fact of the matter is, it's not getting any easier either. I mean, they cut 10 cards from us just this last year. They're not giving as many full cards on the Korn Ferry Tour. They're not getting as many full cards on the PGA Tour. I mean, they're giving less cards in Q School. I mean, there's just so many things that are just making it increasingly more difficult, too.
And why would they be doing that, do you think? Why are they doing less?
I just think that they really just have too many players, and okay. and they're trying to shrink the fields. So that's gonna be, you know, less opportunities for a lot of players. So mm-hmm. they had to take some of our cards because there's less opportunities on the PGA Tour. And I mean, that just is what makes it difficult. And I mean, I think in their ideal world, it's like they want a college golfer or an amateur golfer that's doing super well, and they don't want to make them into a rock star immediately. And I understand that. That's part of the product. That's part of the corporation. But it just it makes it increasingly more difficult for the journeymen, you know, the people that have been out there for a long time. So
now that you've retired from the Korn Ferry Tour professionally, you're not going to quit playing the sport. You're still going to play at some state. What are you going to plan on doing
yeah,
now?
Yeah, so I mean, I'm still considered a professional, but okay. you know, my goal is to still be able to compete and, like, you know, do some qualifiers, do like, you know, the Pinnacle Bank Championship qualifier, do maybe U.S. Open qualifying, and then play kind of the local pro-ams and stuff mm-hmm. like that, maybe the Nebraska Open. So, mm-hmm. I mean, in a perfect world, that's kind of where I have myself at.
And that's cool.
Hopefully I can practice enough and be semi-ready. I know I'll never be kind of what I was, I guess, but, like, hopefully I can be ready enough that I can compete and be able to do those.
I know Noah Hoffman's still out there, you know, doing the same thing you're doing, and I think you guys talk, I think, every now and then about what his career, and he's still out there trying to keep it going as well, isn't he?
Yeah, Noah's doing a great job. I mean, I've played with him a handful of times kind of in the last couple months, and he's definitely improving. He's kind of on that path where he's improving every year, so I look forward. I always try to follow him when I can, and I look forward to seeing him become, you know, successful and do some good things, hopefully on the Korn Ferry Tour. I know Q School's kind of right around here. I think he might even be playing this week. So hopefully, yeah, he has a good week and can continue on and get his card.
And he lives down in Arizona right now, so a lot mm-hmm. of that stuff's right there in that state right now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've lived down in Arizona, kind of mm-hmm. part-time down in Arizona for a little while, and it's a good place, and there's obviously a lot of opportunity there for sure.
Bob?
No, I just got a chuckle when you were talking earlier about, of course, Coach Coleman, and kind of to circle back to some of that. At least my son always told me that when you guys were playing in your groups, and of course they would have, you know, four players from different schools, and several coaches just told their players, if you have a rules problem, find him a Cook kid and ask him. Because they had a test, I believe, I think a written test that Coach Coleman would give them so they would know situations and what to do. And so these guys were always the players that people looked at. Okay, what's my options? What's the ruling here and stuff? So I thought that was pretty funny there. But and I did just write down some of the scores from the last couple of years that my son was in there and playing with you, of course. And the one thing that really stuck out is in 2003, I think it was at Mahoney, here in Lincoln, 2003, and it's a par 70 golf course. But yourself, Tyler, Bob, Nick Nothnagel, Matt Serbusik, as a team, you guys shot 302 the first day and then 286 the second day. And that total of 588 is still the best Class B score ever. Mm-hmm. It's about 20th as far as best scores, but all the other schools are Class A schools ahead of you. So McCook still has the best Class B combined score, and I just think that's, again, it's a tribute. And it was competitive both of those years, with Nick Nothnagel, Matt Serbusik, and Bob, too. I mean, I think you guys were as good as you were because you pushed each other as much as you did. And frankly, you were all good players. Mm-hmm. So that's what you need. So
yeah, I mean, that was an incredible year. I mean, I think that first round, it was kind of windy. We shot a little bit higher that first round, but then the second round, we turned it on. And it was just nice to see everybody kind of click at the right time, play extremely well, and shoot that low of second round score to kind of
you toss out a 79. I mean, Matt Serbusik shot a 79, and that didn't count. Well, I mean, in most teams, that would be their low score.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's rare in high school golf to throw out anything in the 70s. So, it was awesome.
Yeah, kind of in that era, there were so many good players back. I mean, we haven't mentioned the Ryan Vlasheens, and even going back to Justin Coleman and Marcus Clapp and all those guys. And you got to go even way back before that, the Chris Weimers and the Jason Loops. That those two guys had, I think, a championship. And there are, I think Jason won at the individual Class B, if I'm not mistaken, one year. But such a good run at McCook High School boys golf back in the day, huh?
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, I think a lot of this does also go back to not only Coach Coleman, but Heritage Hills Golf Course and being able to prepare us. I think Heritage gives you a combination of blind shots where you kind of learn to trust what you're feeling. Obviously, we get a handful of wind out here, and that helps just playing in those tough spring conditions because it's never calm in the spring out here. Back to Bill Beek. I mean, he took great care of the golf course. Clint and Chris do a great job now, so the greens are always – I mean, we just had hail damage, a month ago on the greens, and 2 weeks later I felt like those greens there, they did really good, and they did a great job out there. Obviously with the maintenance crew at Heritage Hills and, you know, the staff at Heritage Hills has always treated us well, us young junior golfers well.
You'll be starting up a new job here soon, aren't you?
I am. Yep. I've been lucky to kind of talk with Kent Craw a little bit, and he's really kind of taken care of my family and helped out with tickets at the Pinnacle Bank and stuff like that. So I got to know him a little bit over the years, and it happens that they had kind of a job opening I went through, applied for, and kind of talked to him a little bit more about, see if it was a good fit. And I'll be working in the loan department out at Pinnacle Bank. So
he's
starting next week.
He's kind of in the neighborhood of what you did back in the kind of, sort of, right?
Sort of, and yeah. I'm sure he'll be much better at it than I was. So that's just
I need all the teaching I can.
There you go. That's right. Yeah, just don't loan it to somebody that can't pay. That's the one thing that's got to keep in mind. But no, can I ask this, Rich?
You bet.
What do you have a favorite moment from the Corn Ferry or a favorite golf course that you played that if you thought, man, if I could retire here, this is where I'd want to be? Do you see?
I mean, I know they're all pretty special. I really enjoyed Portland's golf course, Pumpkin Ridge. That was always a fun one to go to. My favorite moment, besides kind of what I talked about at the Pinnacle Bank, the other one was 2 years ago, played with Larry the Cable Guy in the BMW Pro-Am, and we took home the team title. So, I mean, like, that was a pretty special moment.
That's in South Carolina.
Greenville, South Carolina, which is a great town that I enjoyed going to, too. But yeah, we had a lot of fun. And, I mean, it's just nice because, I mean, obviously he sponsored me, too. And just to have that moment kind of with your sponsor, he played super well. I played super well. I think I finished third or fourth that week.
Right.
So it was a great week for both of us.
Yeah. I mean, do you have any clue how many miles you've put on?
I put on a lot. I'll say this. This year, I did not fly to one tournament. I drove to every one of them.
Wow.
So I think I put on close to 30,000 miles this year. I think Korn Ferry in general is usually about 15 to 20,000 miles on the car. And then in mini tour days, it was probably about 30. Yeah. So, yeah, hundreds of thousands, that's for sure.
Yeah, wow. It's not all glamour, as people think. You know, there's a lot of alone time in between and a lot of practice time.
It's more glamorous behind the windshield than it is in an airport, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, and those trips, well, you miss your wife and you miss your little one in the worst way, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, you go back to kind of the first event after we had Camry. I mean, that was like the toughest week of my life, just being away from him, you know, 2 weeks after we had her. So, I mean, I came a long ways in the next 2 years, and I wouldn't even say you ever really get used to it, but like I could deal with it, right? And then, you know, just thing as Camry gets older and she's doing more things, she's repeating everything, she's kind of a little more independent. You just kind of miss those moments, you know, and it's one thing to be gone 2-3 days, you know, a week for work, but being gone full weeks and as much as gone 4 weeks in a row, and being gone 25 to 30 weeks a year, you know, that's just a lot of time away from the family, and that's another big reason, you know, why I think it's time to kind of try something different and try a different fit.
You mentioned your relationship and friendship with Larry the Cable Guy, and that will never change, I'm sure.
No, not at all. Not at all. So he's a good dude. He's a good person, not only, and he's been a great sponsor over the years. So it's I'm looking forward to still seeing him down the road.
All right. Bob, anything else?
No, I was just going to say, if nothing else, you probably better watch your phone, Brandon, because now it'll be blowing up with everybody. I need a fourth for our scramble team, and this guy's going to be like the number one catch for anybody to get him out there. So beware of those things and stuff. So, but no, I had a, you know, just like anybody, tried to stay in touch a little bit and kind of watch what you did. And it was, you know, we're talking about just even, you know, just people from McCook that have advanced, you know, in professional sports or whatever. And, you know, what you've done is just right up there. There's not a lot of people from McCook that we can say, hey, guess what this guy, you know, did and everything. Mm-hmm. So, no, it's great. It was fun to watch in. I'm a little sad for you that, you know, it has to kind of come to an end too, but understand that, you know, things got to move on, and sounds like you got a pretty good step in the right direction there.
Yeah, I do. You know, obviously, thank you everybody who listened, who cheered me on and stuff. Thank you for the support over the years, and thank you guys for having me multiple times over the years. So it's been great. We got a great community here in McCook, and I look forward to giving back in a way that hopefully, you know, now that I'm here a little more often, I can help out some high school players, help out some college players a little more often. So that was kind of the plan too, is an avenue to give back a little bit more into the community too.
Now that Bob said that about getting a phone call for a fourth guy, have you and Tyler and Bobby ever got together and played like together at a tournament event before?
We haven't done like a tournament, but we'll come back on occasion, and I'll play with Tyler or Bobby or stuff like that.
And,
you know, Bobby hasn't played a ton of golf in the last couple of years.
Yeah,
but,
he's laid low on that.
But Tyler will come back, you know, it seems like once or so a year, and whether we just all have lunch or, you know, I'll play golf with them, we do that. But no, we haven't gotten together in a tournament or anything yet.
You have to come out for a Bison alumni and get those guys in. And
there you go.
You could pretty well wax the field.
There you go. Brandon, thanks a million for doing this. Appreciate it. And keep up the good work and enjoy McCook. Enjoy your family. Holiday season coming around the corner with a little one. From our past experience, Bob and I with kids, boy, the Christmas season's the best time of the year.
Yeah, I agree. I'm looking forward to it, and it'll be fun.
You bet. Bob, thanks a million.
Oh, always a pleasure.